Hey everybody, my name is Kristen and I want to welcome you to our Join the Team webinar. Congratulations on taking the first step to learn about our incredible opportunity. Your host tonight is married with two grown children and has been helping families in the financial services industry for over 25 years. But prior to that, he was actually an accountant for Delta Airlines. From San Francisco, please welcome the great David Mead. Take it away, David.
Excellent. So just a quick little check. Everything's working out, mic and video and all that. Okay, good. Let me make sure I share what I want to share. And there we go. Excellent. All right. So thank you guys for your time and attention as we get rocking on this. Kristen said, I have 25 years in the financial industry, working with families, helping people, also building teams. So I'm very excited about where we're at. But I know some of you come to this meeting and you're not very excited about your current future. And so that may be one of the reasons you're here. Maybe you're watching for somebody else. So, you know, what's the new career model look like? You know, the world is changing so drastically every day. We're in a huge shift right now in the world. I think back, you know, I love history. I think it's good to learn from history that, you know, when the Industrial Revolution happened, it really was a revolution. Most people were farmers or some type of smith, you know, maybe they worked to support farming or something like that. And then we shifted to industry and we shifted to factories. And there was a major shift in our economy. And a lot of people made fortunes when that shift happened. And then we look, you know, maybe more recently where, you know, I'm staring at a computer screen right now. Well, for a long time, computers were huge, ginormous, you know, things. They couldn't fit into the palm of somebody's hand, you know, and there's more data there. So there's shifts that happen. And most recently, we've had a shift in our world. And so and it may be called the pandemic shift. I don't know. But what I do know is people are very interested in change right now. And IBM did a survey and they'd actually, you know, talk to people about, you know, hey, what do you want out of the workplace? And over half, 54% of adults wanted to work, especially after the pandemic. And can we say we're really after it yet? I don't think so. You know, 54% of people wanted to work remotely, you know, and I'll talk a little bit more about that because for a long time, I was talking to people about working from home. But it's not work from home. And I'll mention some of the things that I've done in the last 18 months. I'm working not from home, but working anywhere, you know, and we'll get into that a little bit more in detail. But, you know, if you could work from home or if you could have a business that you could run from home, think about those things, right? 75% said of those that were surveyed from that IBM survey that in some capacity, they wanted to work from home. Maybe it's a couple of days a week or something like that. To that, maybe, you know, 2 to 5 days, you know, 2 to 4 days working remotely, maybe 1 or 2 days going into the office or something like that. It was a high priority, right? So I think I went too many. All right. So the goal is to get out of that rat race, to get into that grind of just, oh my gosh, I got to go to work today. You know, that pit that you have in your stomach. Maybe it starts Sunday evening and you're just like, oh man, I gotta. And maybe some of you do already work from home, but you could don't like the work that you do there, right? It's you're building somebody else's fortune. You're maybe one of the 98 who are building up for the two percenters, you know. And so, you know, you maybe like to have a new home or a home at all, you know. You know, maybe like to educate your kids and maybe educate them without student loan debt. Maybe there's some hobbies that you would love to achieve, things that you'd like to do. You know, I'm a big sports fan. You know, I love going to sporting events. You know, when that opens up more and more, you know, being able to afford that, you know, having a car, you know, charities. A lot of us have charities that we'd love to support and help fund some of the missions and ministries that are around those charities. And friends and family, just being able to have more time that you could do with the people that you love, you know. We took a bunch of time off just recently for the holidays and not having to worry about, you know, punching into a time clock and being, you know, I took some client calls. I took a couple team calls, but for the most part, I took a couple weeks off and didn't really worry about things, you know. And the big one for me, and I'll talk a lot about this, maybe at the end a little bit, is traveling and being able to travel the world and see places and see things. Gosh, I don't know about you. And I know some of you probably, you know, you're worried about, you know, whether you can ever travel again. You know, I have confidence that one day we'll be able to travel again around this world. I really sure hope so. And my guess is that we can, right? So let's get into this here a little bit. And let's talk about the ways that we make money, the way we move from the 98 to the 2%. First off, we have to understand the ways that we generate income. The most popular way, I said popular, I should rephrase that, the most prevalent way, maybe not the most excited and popular way, is by an employee. We have a job, and I used to have a job. I worked for Delta Airlines, right? And the income is paid, not the person. You know, because I know when I worked for Delta, there was a bunch of people that did just enough not to get fired. You know, can anybody relate to that? You know, and so, you know, when you're an employee, the position's paid. You know, a good example of that would be like a school teacher. You know, we've all gone through life and we've had great teachers and we've had teachers that aren't so great, you know, and if they have the same seniority, they teach the same subjects, the same school, they're going to get paid the same, even though one is maybe dynamic and great and the other one just is there to, you know, do her time or do his time, whatever it may be, you know. Then self-employed is a little bit different because we're able to maybe work kind of a service that we provide for our money, like a dentist, a doctor, a hairstylist. And if we have a very special skill or like, you know, a very special service that we provide, we can command a pretty good income. The challenge is, though, it still requires us to always be engaged and always be there to work. For example, a hairstylist, right? I have a lot of hairstylists that are clients and they do a fantastic job. But the trouble is, you know, as a hairstylist, you have to be there. There's no way to give a haircut remotely. That doesn't work, you know? And then the other way to earn income is as a business owner. And a business owner owns a system and has a system that works for them. For example, we talked about a hairstylist. Well, you can also own the salon where you have stylists that work for you, you know, and there's lots of different systems within that. You know, some of them, there's a commission. Some of them, they pay rent and rent space. You know, I know there's lots of different ways. But the bottom line is the salon owner has a system that works in other people working for him or her that produce and generate income. Another great example of a business owner is like a McDonald's franchise system where, you know, if we owned a McDonald's, we know that we generate income. I have a client that owns several McDonald's in the Bay Area. And he says each McDonald's generates around $90,000 a year in income. So he says some are less, 75,000, some are more, 120. But on average, each McDonald's franchise generates around $90,000 of income for the owner. Now, at least the owner that I talked to. And so if you had one, that's great. But if you had 10 McDonald's franchise, right, or 10 restaurants, if you will, that's even better, right? Then as an investor, and investors have really complete freedom. My McDonald's owner, one of his locations is in a high crime area. So he's constantly worried about theft, and it does happen frequently. And he's also employed that. So there is some worries as a business owner, but also as an investor, right? An investor have money working for them, where money is working independently of us. The dividends, the interest, the earnings from that pile of money can generate our income. Now, I've done seminars like this. You know, they used to be more seminars and less webinar. Now they're webinar, and I ask people all the time, which side of this equation do you want to be on, the left side or the right side? And in almost every time people say, I want to be on the left side. I don't know how it shows up on your screen, but the business owner and investor side is where people want to be. From time to time, I have a knucklehead that says to me, oh, I'd rather stay at my job. I love my job. And I said, you know what? That job's probably right for you. And we'll just stay there. And you know, that's probably not the person we want to try to bring on board to join our team, because that entrepreneur spirit's just been beaten out of them, right? But a business owner, investor is very appealing to folks like myself, right? So as we go into the next slide here, right, you're going to look at 80% of people are in our marketplace. There are the people that aren't, right? But that's a great marketplace. That's a great pool of people in the marketplace. So think about a business, right? A legitimate business that you had 80% wanted to or need some kind of product or service, right? How about a business too that you can work, right? It says there work from home, but I'm going to adjust that a little bit. I'm going to say work from anywhere, right? Or let's put a little caveat to work from anywhere that you have the internet access or at least phone, right? Phone access that can get into the internet, right? And a matter of fact, I'll just share a little bit of, we spent several months last year, 2019 and the beginning of 2020 abroad. And we worked remotely from Europe. And we also, you know, our not only do we work as we travel, we also grew our income during that time period. What a fantastic business. So as long as you can get internet access, just a little side note, I just have to digress for just a little bit. We stayed one time in a 14th century tower in Scotland. And I was a little bit worried because I did have a meeting planned. And I said, well, we'll see how the internet works. And lo and behold, they had refurbished the internet in that tower. I could barely walk the staircase. It was really low and it was all, you know, solid stone, you know, it was fantastic. Loved it, but the internet worked great. So I was able to work. So how about that? So work from anywhere, right? And no overhead as you do what you want to do. Think about a business, right? I brought up my McDonald's client and, you know, he still has to pay for those expensive street corners that every McDonald's is sitting on, right? And if people aren't allowed to go into the McDonald's for a while because of a pandemic or whatever, he still has rent that he's got to pay, or leases he's got to pay, or mortgages he's got to pay on those places, right? So a product, so that if you bought a business where you don't have to buy anything or ship anything, you don't have to worry about inventory, you know, what a great business model, right? Work when you want to, as often as you want to, you know, as we talked about, maybe something is, I'm just talking about what's important to me. Maybe there's something that's important to you. You know, spending time with family is important to me. Trust me, spending time traveling is important to me. How about traveling with your family as you're building a business and working? So I got to tell you, there's a ton of things that we just really excited about. So let's talk about some other things. So a marketable business that's scalable. What does that mean? That means that the scales, like if you can do it and then you can teach other people to do it. And then all of a sudden it's duplicated like a McDonald's, multiple franchises, multiple locations, right? And we can utilize the latest technology as we're doing right now. Actually, I love our business so much, but technology, I'm a kind of a, you know, I'm one of that generation. I don't trust technology as much as I should. You can ask my wife that. That's one thing that does frustrate me. But, you know, if you have good people around you, technology is not an issue, right? So in an intangible product that needs a professional license, that's the thing. I always wanted to be a part of something that was professional, something I could feel really good about, right? And then, you know, we have a saying in our business, you're in business for yourself and not by yourself. People ask me questions all the time that I don't know the answers to. And, you know, the good thing, there's an old invention, it's called a pen and a piece of paper, and you're able to, you know, write that question down and say, you know what? I don't have the answer to that, but I'll get back to you. Matter of fact, it happened to me Saturday. A client asked me a question or two things I didn't really know the answers to. Sure enough, Monday I was able to find the answer to those questions and get in touch with the right people to answer her question. So, you know, that's, you know, how much would it cost you if you were to start a business to have support, the legal support, the technology support, and all those things behind you? Where I don't worry about those things, right? So what Davis, sounds great. I'd like to learn more. What do you do, right? Our business really is about educating people on money. I can't think of anything more important, you know, than money. People say, well, ministry is really important. Yes, it is, right? But my experience is things that keep people up late at night, right, are more related to money than ministry things, right? Once people have taken, maybe their spiritual walk is on a good path, the thing that they worry about next is money. And it seems to be that money worry continues to come up over and over again. And what we really do is take people from worry to confidence on money, kind of help them navigate those waters. And if you're thinking, well, Dave, I don't know anything about money, me personally, I didn't either when I got started, right? But I learned, right? And you could learn too. And the other thing too is we'll teach you, all right? What we do, in so many words, is we help families build a financial house. And I'm going to go through a lot of the money concepts and just take a minute or two and go through those, because I think it's important for you to feel really, really good about what we do. Because in my opinion, I was frustrated at Delta Airlines. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was sick and tired of that Sunday night feeling of having to go to a job I didn't like very much, that wasn't paying me very much. We had too much month at the end of the money, you know, and so we were like, okay, what are we going to do about this? And so I was looking for something to help me get started. But I was looking to get started in something, but I didn't want to do anything. Because if I didn't feel really, really good about it, I wasn't going to do it. You could pay me a gazillion trillion dollars, but if I felt unholy about it, if I felt icky about it, I'll stay broke. You know what I'm saying? So I hope that you get that message that what we do is really good for people, right? So what we do is help people build the financial house. You know, the foundation of any house is protection, you know. And you want to build your house on a strong financial foundation, you know, working through emergency funds and budgeting, right? You know, it's funny, I had a conversation with a client of mine, and she mentioned to me, she says, Dave, it's amazing to me how many people are worried about this stimulus coming out last year and all this kind of stuff. Aren't we supposed to all have an emergency fund in case something like this did happen? And she's like, I'm glad that the stimulus is going to come to me. I'm glad that, but we got our emergency fund. I'm glad that we did this, you know, accelerating debt. Imagine for a second, imagine those of you that don't own a home, imagine that you did own a home. And then those of you that already own a home, imagine that it's paid off. How great would that feeling be? That's the thing that we teach people, right? Helping people live their golden years, their retirement years, and complete financial security. Sending their kids or grandkids to college. How wonderful is that concept to be able to graduate from college without any student loan debt, you know, and then other goals and dreams. We talked a little bit about that. But, you know, I mentioned a lot of traveling. You know, that was the reason I got the job at Delta Airlines, because, you know, really here's how I was working at a convenience store and guy says to me, we're talking, and I said, you work for the airline? Oh man, I'd like to work here. I like to travel. And he thought, I'll get you an interview. And that's how I started at the airline, right? I didn't do any research on the job. I just wanted the flight benefits, you know? And then when I got there, right, it was like, I couldn't have any time off to do anything, to travel. Actually, I had to work all the time because I didn't need money. You know what I'm saying? I could fly somebody, but I had to, like, you know, sleep on the streets because I couldn't afford anything, right? So anyways, what we do, getting back to the point that we're talking about, is build a financial house that's really solid, right? So we ask people all the time, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, what's your desire and confident level that you'll be there? A lot of times people say, my desire is 10, but my confidence is 2. And what we do is we bring that gap up to make sure that, hey, we're gonna get you confident, get out of the worry zone and get into the confidence zone when it comes to your money and finances. So the goal is, when we do this, and regardless of whether you want to come and work with us or not, want to join our team or not, you're going to want to know what your financial independence number is. And maybe you've already been working with somebody and you got that number dialed in. But if you haven't kind of revisited that, that'd be a really good thing to look at again, right? So what are we talking about? So let's say somebody's 30 years old, and some of you may be older than that. I mean, maybe younger than that, but let's just kind of, for the sake of argument, you're 30 and you want to retire at 60. Let's say you live to be 90, right? So in that scenario, and let's say your income, you know, you want around $100,000 a year in income. I know some of you are probably thinking, wow, that's too little, or some of you think that's too much, but just come on, work with me, all right? So that means that at 3% inflation, the cost of living goes up, right? And it goes up in weird ways. I remember when I started, right, in the financial service industry, my cell phone bill was zero. And all of my client cell phone bill were zero. No, we didn't have a cell phone. Now, most people's $200 cell phone bill for most people is no big deal, right? So here we are, you know, so many years later, we have a new bill that was created that we didn't have before, right? So the cost of living, you know, it may not be, you know, gas, not just gas prices or other thing. It's just the way living works. It goes up over time, right? So if that money is going to last for 30 years, like a 30-year vacation, we're going to need $243,000 a year for inflation, but then we're going to need it to last 30 years. That's $2.6 million, a nest egg that we're going to need to accumulate. Now, some of you are depressed. You're like, oh my gosh, $2.6 million? Because think about this. How many of your friends, your family, your coworkers, your neighbors, how many of them are on track to have $2.6 million? My guess is probably very few, right? And or how many of them even know they need that amount of money? Again, probably very few, right? So what we'll do is we'll identify that, but then also have a plan to get there. Now, what do I need? If I'm starting at ground zero, I got nothing saved, we need to start putting away $1,400 a month. Yes, that's $1,421 every month. And you're kind of going, okay, Dave, I could do 140 a month, but 100 or 1400 a month, and you're tuning me out. Listen, what we want to do is help families get there, and we have ways of doing that. And the bottom line is, too, sometimes through the what we call the financial needs analysis, we can free up a ton of money. You know, I was telling a group earlier, you know, my wife reminded me about a subscription that I had. And I said, do you read this magazine anymore? Oh, yeah. Well, we have the subscription to it. I thought, well, I need to stop that. So it wasn't a big dollar amount, but still those little things all can add up to a lot. And so sometimes we can free money by paying off the credit cards. I mean, imagine if you didn't have a credit card debt, student loan debt, mortgage debt, how much more money you could save, right? And then, you know, if there's other areas, insurance is another area that we find a lot of people. We'll talk a little bit more in detail about that in a minute, but that's another area we find a lot of freed up money or potentially freed up money for people. I'll tell you another one we find out where we can free up money is a tax return. You know, it's not on the screen right there, but most people, the average United States household tax return as we're kind of approaching tax season is around $3,000 a year. That's $250 a month, right? Have you ever had a month where you could have used an extra $250 every month? I bet you almost every month, right? So by adjusting the tax return, and I don't want to get into too much of the details right now, you free up more money per check, and then you can use that to maybe spend down debt, start an IRA, whatever that may be to help families get there. So you'll learn this in working with this, all these kind of systems of helping people free up some money, right? We do that through a diagnostic tool called a financial needs analysis. I like to call it, like it says there on the screen, a GPS, you know, kind of program where you're at now to get to where you want to get to, right? One of the areas that we work with families is the areas income protection and then also retirement. Those kind of things are kind of like the two cornerstones to a financial plan, because we're either going to do one of two things. We're either going to live too long or die too soon. So in the early years, right, when people have young kids, a mortgage, debt, maybe even student loan debt, they have all these responsibilities. That's what the green line represents there, right? Like you can see my hands. Anyway, so the green line represents your responsibilities. And then the blue line there, that represents your money, okay? So in the early years, like what I'm talking about, people have a lot of responsibilities, right? If your mortgage, you know, the kids, you know, one of the reasons you guys go to work is so that you can provide for your kids a roof over their head, clothes on their backs, food on the table, right? But as time goes on, right? And the other thing too, right? Most people in their early years, they don't have a lot of money saved. But as time goes on, right? Our debts are paid off. The kids grow up. My kids have actually grown, and they're independent of mom and dad now. They have their own families that they're raising, right? Your debts are paid, mortgage is paid, responsibilities. So your responsibilities diminish, right? The other thing that we need at some point in time is we need a bunch of money saved, right? So two cornerstones of the financial plan is protection in case we die too soon, and protection in case we live too long. And I think a lot of us want the scenario where we're living too long. You know, we don't want to have to outlive our money, but we want the scenario where we're living a long time, right? So one of the things that we also do along the way is we want to help families accumulate money. And the Northern California area, the average, you know, most people need $500,000 to $1 million of coverage. And I talk to people that say, listen, okay, that's one thing to need, like, you know, let's just say $500,000 of coverage, $500,000 of coverage. But if we can help you at some point where you have $500,000 saved and invested, $1 million saved and invested, do you need life insurance anymore? And people stop for a second and say, well, no, if I had all this money saved, now some people say, oh, I still want it. And I get it and I understand that. But would you need it necessarily if you had all this money saved? No. So what we do is we teach people how to get out of life insurance. Very unique in the industry. The only company I know of that teaches people how to eliminate life insurance. Now, we may need it in the early years until we accumulate the cash. Got it? All right. So here's some mistakes around when it comes to insurance. And I got to tell you, it's one of the biggest, well, usually it falls on one of two categories, right? There's five mistakes, but usually it's people are pay too much for it, they're over-premiumed, or they're underinsured. And that's kind of what it comes down to. Most of the families we work with do not have enough life insurance. And let me say this, I believe the statistic is 1 out of 20 kids will graduate from high school losing at least one parent. That's just about every classroom in America, right? Some like even two classrooms, you know, two kids per classroom, but just about every classroom in America is going to have one student that will lose a parent before they get out of high school. So, you know, we've got to get out there and talk to people about these things, right? Having the wrong kind of coverage, cash value. I have another slide in a minute I'll go through that. It really is one of the most deceptive financial products in the industry. And then there's a lot of term companies that have really quote unquote cheap rates, but really what it is, it's designed to kind of eventually at some point flip you into one of the not so nice kind of products, right? And there, or at some point in time, what happens is the premium balloons in cost. Now, we'll get into some of those things later, but you follow what I'm saying. Another big mistake that people is procrastination. You know, if you ignore a problem, does it get better or worse? Yeah. In my household, usually if I ignore something, it gets worse. My whole thing, but if I deal with it, it gets dealt with, and then I can go on to something else, right? Group life insurance is another issue. I just got to tell you just a quick little personal story of a client that I worked with. She worked, I can't tell you where she worked from. She worked for a big company in the Bay Area and all that. And she got cancer and she had a lot of group life insurance. The life insurance policy that she had with us, which is kind of the supplement, right? Right. She wanted to keep a lot of coverage at work. She planned on working there forever. Well, sometimes the plans we have are different. She got cancer and she couldn't work anymore. So she went from an employee to eventually like a workman's comp. Eventually she was no longer working. So she's no longer part of the group that's employed. So the group life insurance stayed there. And while she eventually, you know, fought, eventually passed away. But it was several years that happened. Well, the group coverage, it went away. The only coverage her family was the policy that she had with us. So you never want to rely on the group coverage as being the sole thing for the family, for your family, right? So let's look at the example. I mentioned cash value insurance. What is that? Cash value insurance has got a lot of fancy names. Whole life, universal life, variable universal life. There's even an indexed universal life. All of those policies, what happens is there's a cash value that's inside the policy. You follow me on that? Inside the policies where the savings is. Sounds real good. I got insurance and savings all in one. The challenge is some of the things that they don't tell you about those policies, right? So here in this example that's on the screen, we've got a couple. They have $200,000 of coverage on the husband, $200,000 of coverage on the wife, right? 35 years old, the premium's $450 a month, right? And so The cash value at age 65, 30 years, is going to grow to 153,000, right? The challenge is, how does it work? They're paying for two things, but they get one. What do you mean? So let's say that in this area, the primary, let's say his name is John, right? And the husband dies, right? And Mary, his wife, the spouse, right? She gets the 200,000. But what happens to the cash value? Let's say it's a couple years into it, say a few, not even a couple. Let's say it's like 5-10 years into it, they got like 10,000 in savings, right? It hasn't grown to the 153,000, right? They got 10,000 in savings. John's coverage is 200,000. So every time I ask people that, I said, so what should happen to the 10,000? What should happen to the savings account? And almost every time people say, well, the spouse, the wife should get it. Well, most policies, the insurance company keeps the savings. People say, oh my gosh, that's awful. Well, yeah, let's say, well, most people I talk to want to live to 65. So here's our couple. They've lived to age 65 and they have 153,000. And they say, you know what? We're retired now. We want that money. Insurance company says, it's yours. You can have it, but you have to surrender. That's the full legal name of it. It's called cash surrender value, right? They say you have to surrender the cash value to get you have to surrender the insurance to get the cash value. Well, wait a minute, that doesn't sound good. Yeah, you pay for two things, but you get one at a time. I have families or clients say, oh, it's gonna borrow all the money out. Okay, let's say that there's 50,000 in cash value, you borrow the 50,000 and out, and then you die. What is the insurance company gonna pay? Yeah, they're gonna pay the 200,000 minus the 50,000, they're gonna pay 150. I know, it's a funky, funky thing, right? But it's all there, and most people, like my parents, my loving, great parents, who I and dear to this day, right? Because they instilled a lot of love, a work ethic with me, but they didn't know a lot of financial terms. They just went with somebody they trusted. I won't mention the name, but they're like your good neighbor. And they got them involved in one of these kind of things. And sure, you know, they could have had a much better plan. Now, let's talk about buy term and invest the difference, right? So there's a 30-year level term, right? So now, by the way, all insurances over time, like term insurance, are going to go up, right? So after the 30 years, the premium is going to go up. However, maybe we don't need it or need as much at that point. In this case, we figured out by doing the analysis, primary, right? The primary earner could have been the wife, could have been the husband, but the primary earner in the household, right, needed 800,000. My calculations is most stay-at-home parents, one, I mean, it could be the wife, right? The stay-at-home partner, right? It needs 400,000 because you try staying home with those kids and doing all the things that he or she does at home around the house, right? I know with my wife, when she was with the kids, I would be a basket case trying to figure out I still am like a basket case without her and all the stuff that she handles for me. And the kids are grown. So 400,000 for a spouse, that's really realistic, right? So we got 1.2 million of total coverage. That's pretty good. And instead of paying 450, they're paying 189 for the coverage. But if we take the same 450 a month and we just invest the difference, right? And we put the 261 as an investment, that's going to grow to nearly 700,000 by the time they're age 65, right? Maybe they don't need the coverage because the kids are grown, the house is paid off. And now they have 700,000, said they can even drop the policy entirely. If they want to renew it, they can. Obviously, maybe they don't need nearly as much. They can keep the premiums the same or even a lot less. It just depends on their situation. You guys tracking with me? Good. Shake your head. Yes. I know. I can't see you. All right. So one of the other things that we find is giving money to financial institutions. Now, be careful because, well, don't you represent a financial institution? But when I say traditional financial institution, banks, credit unions, insurance companies, right? So for example, here we are, take your money. What does the bank do with our money? Right? They lend it, right? They invest it. It doesn't just sit there in the vault. They do stuff. They go to the global economy with our money. So we teach people, let's go where they go with our money, right? One of the things that we'll teach people is a thing called the rule of 72. If I had like 2 minutes with you, this would be one of the things I would teach you. So pay attention. What is the rule of 72, right? So it tells you how long it takes for your money to double. So let's say we had 20,000 and we were earning 2% on the money, right? Go to the bank or whatever, the other financial institutions. So that means our money would double, right? Two goes into 72, 36 times. So that means our money would double in 36 years. So $20,000 at the bank, or it would double in 36 years to 40,000. You tracking? Good. Well, let's say we could double the rate. If we doubled the rate, what would the return then be? Most people think if I double the rate, I'm going to double my return. That's what I used to think too, right? So 20,000 is going to double a lot quicker because it's going to double every 12 years. Six goes into 72, 12 times, right? So here we go. Same 36 years, we got 160,000. We more than double the rate. So we have more than the return. But let's say next time we double the rate, right? So we go we take the same 20,000. I do this seminar all the time. I say, what do you think the number is going to be? And people say a big number, but when we do the math out, you can see it's $1.2 million. That's $1 million difference between 6 and 12. What we teach people is where we can go to get the best possible return and not expose them to too much risk. I had a conversation with a client today, and she's been in her fund for just about 10 years, and she's averaged 15% in that fund. And I'm trying to explain to her that that's unbelievable, that we want to talk to her, you know, about maybe a 9% return, you know. So these are while nobody can promise or guarantee a 12% return, there are vehicles that historically have done a phenomenal rate of return, right? By the way, I can tell you also, if we had no credit, what's the credit card charging you? 18%, right? That do that to the rule of 72, right? So think about this. Think about your friends, your family, your coworkers, your neighbors, right? Are all of them knowing exactly how their 401k is working, right? Some of you are probably saying, I don't know how my 401k works. I just put money in it. Sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes down. How does that work? You know, right? Those are the things that we teach people. Think about this. Imagine if you had a business teaching people these kind of concepts and these kind of rules, right? And then you got professional advice about these things, and you had a business that was on a professional level teaching people about money and how things could work, right? Typically, most financial institutions will work with people when you have about $250,000 to invest. That's when they'll really give people good advice, right? Where we work with families when they have $25 a month, $50 a month. I just started working with somebody, one of my guys, worked with his sister and helped his sister invest $100 a month in a Roth IRA, right? And, you know, so excited about doing that for them, right? He's excited because he's just getting started with us. And then he's excited because he's getting his sister on track to have the rule of 72 work for her, right? So how does this all work? Mutual funds, right? How exactly does a mutual fund work? So we have a collection of investors, people like me and you, and sometimes the bank is an investor, and they'll pull their money, right, into a managed, professionally managed pool of money. And then those managers will go out to the global economy and they'll select companies, right, that'll work together towards, achieving, you know, success. But, you know, great American companies, great global companies that produce products and services that we want and need. All right. So it's a way to build wealth for the future. So here we are, right? And we've got all of these financial institutions that work with us. So imagine if you're going to start a company and you wanted to have a relationship with all these companies. I'm going to start a financial company and I'm going to develop a relationship with all these companies and have them provide products and services and training for me and my team. How long would it take you to organize all these companies? You'd probably call them and call them and call them. All you have to do is work with us, and you have all of these partners at your disposal ready to work with you and help you train your team. I mean, that's just like a phenomenal thing, right? So we have a business where we can deliver online products directly to people's homes. I mean, just this weekend, I was working with families from this same spot, right, that I'm talking to you now, right? I was able to click, 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 and help people out, right? And we have, you know, I just went over all those financial companies. Well, they have great products, world-class products, right? And we have ongoing education, because a big thing is a lot of times our clients are great and we love them. But the other thing too is this, they're busy and they forget. So the ongoing follow-up and ongoing continuing client education, because the best clients are educated clients, but also continuing to educate them. All right, so let's move on. So you make money. How do you make money? Well, number one is there's a need for what we do. You have to ask yourself, is there a need for financial advice, right? Okay, sorry, this slide messed me up a little bit. So let me just backtrack just a second here. Business 101 says, find a need and fill it, right? That's, you know, people get hungry, they go to McDonald's, right? They deliver food fast. You know, that's an example, right? Business machines, you know, when Apple, you know, here in the Bay Area, you know, that's Silicon Valley galore. There's constantly somebody, oh, people need this app. So let's figure that out. By the way, so when 2013, I remember reading an article in the year 2013, apps were $10 billion, right? And I was thinking that was like a 3-year industry at that time. And it went from zero to a $10 billion. People downloaded and paid money for some kind of app or some kind of service in a very quick period. They found a need and they filled it with apps, right? So number one, you have a business, you find a need and you fill it. Are the financial concepts helpful? You know, I can tell you after 25 years of experience that yes and yes and yes, right? Can you see why our clients love us? You know, and can you see the opportunity that this is creating, right? So just all you got to do is just plug in and be coachable to the system, right? I want to put up a lot of things as far as training goes. You don't have to plug into every and all of them, but maybe in the beginning you do more than less just to get yourself educated, get yourself up to speed, kind of learn how this thing can plug. I got to tell you, I still plug into a lot of the training meetings, particularly like the Tuesday morning, you know, marketing webinar. To me, I learn something, you know, every week, you know, because, you know, if you quit learning, you're going to go backwards. And who wants to do that? So let me pull up this next one. Technology drives our business. Probably my guess is most of the people who are watching this webinar, you were invited by a technological, some type of, maybe it was an email or a text or some type of technology driven invite to hear this. Maybe it's a delayed, or maybe you're watching it live. I'm not really sure, right? But the point is technology drove you to this. We have a 12-week client or customer education series that's free, that's fabulous, right? And then we do this weekly. You have other people. I mean, don't you want to be in business with people that you want to be in business with? I know when I worked at Delta Airlines, there was a bunch of people that I really did not like to work with. All right, so let's get to and then by the way, you can get one-on-one Zooms. I got a bunch of Zoom meetings scheduled for tomorrow to help people grow their team or work with individual clients, right? So training through Zoom is fantastic. You can do all our licensing online. We even have a licensing coach that can be assigned to you, because I know sometimes, you know, if you're like me, you got a little bit of gray hair. You're like, the last time I was in school, I had a lot more hair and it was not gray. So, or maybe, you know, like I also was, you know, 40 pounds lighter, whatever the situation is. It's been a while since you've been in school. So we'll assign you a licensing coach to help you get through all that. And then, you know, we have weekly, you know, training to also help you. And then also marketing training. So product training, marketing training to help you grow your business. So let's talk about how much money you can make. All right. This is probably the thing that will excite some of us more than others. But if you're like me, it's like, all right, this sounds all good. I like helping people. I want to help people, but I also want to help myself and make some income. So if we look at a 35-year-old level term, a 30-year level term, let's say $1 million, you know, maybe that's $500,000 on the husband, $500,000 on the wife, some combination thereof. And the monthly premium to them is $99. You can see the payouts that are there per level, right? And so per transaction, your earnings are anywhere from, you know, $276 to $1,200, right? When I saw that, I said, how do I get from the $200 to the $1,200? That was a very thing to do, right? Each time you help a family, you can earn some money in this case, right? So let's look at this, right? So If wait, I think I went too far. No, okay, we'll just do it. So $99 a month, that would equal anywhere from $276 to $1,200, right? And then if somebody does a $500 monthly investment, that's a, you know, maybe, you know, it can be some combination of a, you know, an IRA, college accounts for the kids, you know, maybe a short-term account. They want to start saving money for their house, maybe an emergency fund, some combination of 500 a month, right? And the compensation was from $7 to $15 per month. Now, that's a big deal. I know $7, nobody's like, woohoo, $7 a month. But then that's every month that that's coming in. It's residually coming in. And you, yes, you're going to educate the client, maybe, right? I got a lot of clients that we've set up a lot, and I reach out to them, but there's no need to really do much more than the initial things that we have set up. Yes, I reach out to them, and yes, I'm available if they need things, but that money comes in on a regular basis, right? And did I do too many? All right. So let's just go through this. So if you did one of those a week, that's $26,000 a year. That $500 a month, after doing it every week for a year, now you're paid $520 per month in residual income. Let's say you did that for 10 years, right? That's like 50,000. You guys follow me on this, right? That's a lot of money coming in on a residual basis, right? So 29,000 your first year, just kind of getting things going, getting it started, right? Then you start to, let's see here. Oh, we're going to move on to the rollover market. I got to tell you, this is a big deal. So this is a $26 trillion with a T dollar industry. I think I'm running low on time, but Google how many seconds are in a trillion, okay? Or figure out how big a trillion is. There's a lot of analogies that you can find online. But reoccurring, repeat compensation, there's no limit on the size of investments. Do all our meetings online, right from your home. Like this is my home, right? So what can you earn? Let's say you did a $300,000 rollover. You know, these happen all the time. You know, people leave jobs. I think I read somewhere recently where the average millennial will have 14 different jobs by the time they retire. That's 14 different rollovers. Now, the first few years, those rollovers may not be 300,000, but after a while, they probably will have a few of those. So think about this. If you found some folks as a regional leader, which is a part-time right position with us, right, or a part-time opportunity with us, right, you're at a 300,000 investment, right? That if you did one of those a month, okay, and maybe so, I don't know a lot of people with 300,000. Well, you probably know 10 people that have 30,000, right? You know, in the technology industry, there's people hopping from one place to another all the time, right? I just had a client left Apple and went to Pinterest. You know, these things happen. He moved, you know, 67,000 with us, right? So, but you follow a few of those, right? And you have 300,000, right? So if you did just one of those a month, though, that's 53,000 a year in compensation. And that's upfront compensation. That doesn't include residual reoccurring, where if they leave another job and they roll over another part, and so you just continue to get repeat. Plus, as the asset grows, your residual compensation grows, okay? So that's a huge thing. We win, the client wins, right? So you gain freedom by having time and money. I mentioned earlier about some of our travels. I it's been just, you know, so fun to be able to do that. I know we'll be able to do that again too, right? So reoccurring, you know, doing money for nothing, you know, we were able to grow our income, but we had a real big base of income before we started traveling. And, you know, and so you can do those things, right? For example, this weekend is my granddaughter's, you know, birthday. And so we're excited. We're headed up to Washington to spend some time with her, and we're going to have a blast and all that. I actually have some meetings scheduled around her birthday party. So I'll be able to work, you know, spend time with her and spend time with my family, but also work. I'm not shutting down my business because I have family I want to spend time with. You guys follow me on that one? All right. The build your own brokerage, right? Let's talk about this for a second. Now, if you start to produce people that are producers, so let's say that your team produces 10 term life insurance policies a month. So then your annual compensation, 224, some of that's in bonuses, some of that's in and just the team production thing that we call an override. That's a fantastic way to earn income. Then let's say you had 10 of those folks that did some type of rollover, right? Then we'll say that they each, you know, each one of those rollovers, or some of them are bigger than others, but the compensation, that would be 258,000. So you combine that together, that's 483. That we talked about in the very beginning, how to get from the rat race, the 98% to the 2%. Well, that income would take you actually into the 1% category of incomes in America. So I'm telling you, 483. I can tell you, we the last couple of months, our income has been, you know, over 24,000 both months, every month. So combined, close to 50,000 in income over the last 2 months. My family, we've budgeted, you know, my wife and I, we've budgeted 2,000 a month, and we've budgeted 25,000 in a month. It's a lot funner to budget 25,000. Let me tell you that, right? Okay. So I'm running slow. I want to keep my time, because I know that spare time, just, you know, maybe, you know, you figure out what that means for you, spare time. I started out part-time. I wanted to get out of my job at Delta Airlines. So I was one of the 99% of people that started just kind of part-time. I hated my job. I didn't really like my boss very much, but I love the flight benefits. So I said, man, if I'm going to leave the flight benefits, I want to make sure that I'm doing this the right way. So I was part-time for about 6 months, 7 months, and I started making, you know, $500, $1,000 a month part-time. Not in the first month, but, you know, after, you know, a couple months getting licensed, learning what I was doing with a trainer, and, you know, watching the videos like this. Back then, I wasn't watching videos, I was listening to cassette tapes, but you guys follow what I'm saying, right? And I was able to make that transition. Then eventually came full time. And now, you know, we make kind of, you know, a fantastic income. A lot of big chunk of that is on a residual basis, right? And all we did is we plugged into the system and we were coachable. So how do you get started? I got to fly through some of this and you'll have to forgive me, right? So we're a professional organization. There's a background check that's going to be done. You got to submit what's called an independent business application. There's I don't know, some of you might get this feed, this webinar, this thing forwarded to you. Maybe it'll be, you know, it'll still be $99, but right now it's $49 a month, right? Or $49 upfront. That's for the background check. Then to run your business, there's a $25 monthly. So that goes for all the goodies that you get. I'm telling you, there's a ton of great things. And then implement your own plan, plug into the system. So what's your next step? Your next step is to get with the person that sent you this video, that sent you the video link to this webinar. However, maybe you're watching this down the road. This isn't live. Maybe you are watching it live. You still need to get with the person that it sent this to you. And you gotta do it sooner than later. Schedule it tonight, schedule it today, whenever you're watching this, but make sure you schedule it within the next 24 to 48 hours, because we all know, oh, I should do this. We're all thinking this, right? So many, if you've watched this so far, you're saying to yourself, I should do this. And if you're saying you should, then you must, okay? Schedule the time to get with a person, because if you wait long on that, we know that there's a law of diminishing intent. You intend to do it, but then all of a sudden, I know, because life gets distracting, right? There's something else that'll happen, right? Get your own analysis done, fill out the application, and get started. If this isn't with you, I don't want to join the team. You should become a client. Because I know that the chances of you becoming financially independent without us being in your life, that diminishes a ton. All right, I am done. And I thank you guys for your time, your attention. I will send one last thing. I mentioned this to an earlier group that I was talking to. There's kind of two pains in life. One pain is the pain of regret. You know, we all think that we all have a regret in our life. If you're human, if you've been on this earth for 30 years, you have some regrets. Whether it's, you know, for me, I lived in the Bay Area. I did not buy Apple stock in the 70s. I didn't buy it in the 80s. I didn't buy it in the 90s. I didn't buy Apple stock when Steve Jobs came back to, I never bought Apple stock. You know what I'm saying? I regret that. But so there's pain, right? There's pain of regret, but there's also pain and change and maybe doing something different, like joining us in business, joining our team is there's some, you know, it's doing something different, getting out of your comfort zone. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to work from home. This is really, this is mind blowing. So you have two pains. You could pain of regret or the pain and change. We'll see you at the top.